recording of your remote. I've got it.
This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yeheyes Wuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
So we need to modernize our view of Russia and understand that today's Russia is essentially an imperial power, which feels weakened and which wants to, I think, get back the kind of clout and supremacy it had.
That was Abdi Rashid, Chief Horn of Africa Analyst for Sahan Research, on how African countries should reconsider their views of Russia. Details coming up. Also, Ukraine's president says Africa is a hostage in the war with Russia. These stories and more on African News Tonight. We start with our top story. Belgian authorities have returned a tooth of murdered Congolese independence hero Patrice Lumumba to his children. I talked to Eddie Isango from VOA's Lingala service, who talked to members of the Lumumba family about reaction to the gesture by Belgium.
It has been 61 years since he was killed, assassinated, and his body disappeared there. I've never had mourning funerals. So now they will do that. It's not only for the family, but the whole country. You know, there will be some ceremonies, when the body is returned to Kinshasa. First of all, there is a memorial that has been built for him. When going to Kinshasa, going to the center town, you see a place that is called Lumumba Place. It's there that they will put the remaining of his body. There is a statue of him, a big one, and everything is. And the remains of his body, one tooth, will be taken to the place where he was born, in Onulua village in Sankuru province, and he'll be taken to Kisangani, the place where he started his career, even political, and some other places, and then take back to Kinshasa, where he started two national party, the MNC, when he started the politics. I think this is what it means, giving to him.
So, Eddie, Lumumba was murdered by separatists and Belgian mercenaries in 1961. His killers dissolved his remains in acid, though some kept his teeth as a memento. So, for this kind of crime, is there any justice the family is expecting?
Yes. Yesterday, after talking to Jean-Jacques Lumumba, Lumumba's great son, he said the family is still expecting that justice one time will be made for Lumumba, but not only for Lumumba. You know, Lumumba was killed with two or three other people assassinated, shot dead the same night. So they are asking justice for those people, but for many other people that was killed even before the independence by Belgium and after that, and all others. You know, I know they're saying that though the government, Congolese government, said during the Belgian king trip in Kinshasa that time has come to turn back to the past and look forward the future. But they said we cannot look to the future without seeing what happened in the past. We don't want that what happened in the past will come again. You know, not only for our father, but for many other people. They say, you know, if people are still being killed in the DRC, it's because since then justice has never been made. They're asking for justice.
That was Eddie Isango from VOA's Lingala service speaking with me. Mm-hmm. In the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, a new attack by the M23 militia has forced a unit of the United Nations Peacekeeping Force and DRC troops to evacuate their base. The fighting comes as tensions remain high between the DRC and Rwanda because of allegations that Rwanda backs the M23. Many people in the DRC blame Kigali for the renewed M23 attacks. The Rwandan government denies supporting the M23. Journalist Jafar Al-Katanti is in Goma in the eastern DRC. He gave VOA's Kate Pondarson an update on the situation.
Since yesterday, M23 launched attacks on the Shangi position, which is a camp of FRDC and MONUSCO soldiers. And yesterday, there was 9 FRDC killed and many peacekeepers injured. This morning, they started again, and now, according to a source of mine, peacekeepers start leaving the area because it became more and more danger for them.
Now, also, there has been a concern about the anger in the DRC spreading among communities so that people might attack those they see connected with Rwanda, particularly members of the Tutsi community. There have been a couple of attacks, I understand. What are you hearing about that situation?
Yes, in the end of last week, there was a call from some people to boycott all Rwanda products. As you know, we are very close to Rwanda, some cities like Goma and Bukavu, where many people from Rwanda cross the border, come to work in DRC. So there has been attacked by some Congolese. And during those attacks, some Congolese Tutsi and Hutu, which are Kinyarwanda speakers, were also victims of those attacks. But 2 days after, authorities of DRC forbid people to aggress anyone, even if he can be a Rwandan citizen, because there is a problem between DRC and Rwanda, but not a problem between Congolese and Rwandese. The problem is on governments and armies to solve, and not locals to local. And now, since Monday, I didn't hear about any attack of anyone. And also, the Minister of Security said if anyone feel to be attacked or in danger, he has to call police, and police will protect the victim and arrest the one who was aggressing him.
That was reporter Jafar Al-Katanti in Goma. He spoke by phone with my colleague, Kate Pondarson. Analysts say the African Union, AU, is unlikely to offer Ukraine much support against Russia, despite a passionate address yesterday by Ukraine's president. Many African nations have historical ties to Russia and have refused to condemn the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Halima Tumani reports from Addis Ababa.
In his speech to the African Union Monday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky accused Russia of holding Africa hostage by not allowing Ukrainian grain exports to reach the continent unless Western sanctions are lifted. Zelensky, speaking by video conference, also reminded AU leaders about Africa's history of being colonized and said the continent should never support any attempt by one nation to colonize another. Abdi Rashid is chief Horn of Africa analyst for Sahan Research, a Nairobi-based research group. He says that while many Africans have expressed support toward Russia because of the former Soviet Union's backing of liberation movements against colonial powers and apartheid, Russia has changed.
And I think Africans probably have not come to grips with the reality of modern Russia. So we need to modernize our view of Russia and understand that today's Russia is essentially an imperial power, which feels weakened and which wants to, I think, get back the kind of clout and supremacy it had.
After the address, Moussa Faqit Mahamat, chairperson of the African Union Commission, tweeted that the African Union reiterates its position of the urgent need for dialogue to end the conflict in Ukraine, to allow peace to return to the region and to restore global stability. Hassan Kanenje, director of the Horn International Institute for Strategic Studies, says the response by the African Union was short of what Zelensky expected. Taking sides with Ukraine, Kanenje argues, would be seen very negatively by China, which has close relations with Moscow. He argues Africa's geopolitical calculations and relative power in the international system doesn't allow it to make a decisive turn toward one of the two warring parties.
Because remember, there is a question of Taiwan, which of course then the West supports Taiwan. And so in an event of a conflict, if you're going to side with Ukraine today, it's going to send a message that in situations of conflict with Taiwan, you are going to take the side of the West, which China may decide or elect to turn off the taps of investments, you know, for you because you're not a reliable partner.
Even though African countries are struggling with high inflation and the effects of drought and lack of Ukrainian imports, China has made it clear it will provide support to the continent only if Africa pushes back against what Beijing calls Western interference in the war, especially the sanctions aimed at the government of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Halima Athmani for VA News, Addis Ababa.
Mali's military government says Islamist militants have massacred 132 civilians in the central Mopti region in one of the deadliest attacks of the decade-long militant insurgency. Annie Risenberg reports from Bamako, Mali.
Mali has declared 3 days of mourning after gunmen suspected to be Islamist militants killed 132 villagers in the central Mopti region. The attack on three villages the evening of June 18th is one of the deadliest since Mali's conflict began in 2012. A government statement was read on state TV ORTM Monday night by presenter Mariam Kone.
Le gouvernement condamne avec la dernière rigueur.
She says the government condemns with the utmost rigor the attacks and abuses perpetrated against peaceful populations. Kone says the government reassures that all measures will be taken to find and bring the perpetrators of these criminal acts before the court. The attack in Mopti is the latest in a wave of attacks on civilians in Mali and neighboring Burkina Faso. Last week in Burkina Faso, militants killed 86 civilians in an attack in the northern Setenga area. The UN mission to Mali, known as MINUSMA, in a statement Monday night condemned the attacks in central Mali. The statement noted recent attacks also took place in several areas of the Gao region, causing the deaths of dozens of civilians. Local officials told AFP this week that 24 civilians were killed in Ebak, Mali, 35 kilometers north of the regional capital. A local political movement reported that Islamist militants killed 22 men in Izingaz in the Menaka region on June 12. Mali's military government has not commented on the growing insecurity and violence in the country's northern regions. The rise in violence comes as the French military is in the process of withdrawing from the region over Mali's working with Russian mercenaries. Human Rights Watch and news reports quote locals saying Mali's army and Russian mercenaries killed hundreds of civilians in Moura in central Mali in March. The military denies killing any civilians, saying there are only Russian instructors in Mali, and says the Moura attack killed more than 200 Islamist militants. Annie Risenberg for VOA News, Bamako, Mali.
You're listening to African News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. Please note we have moved our programs from voanews.com to voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. Find us on voaafrica.com. Burkina Faso's army has ordered civilians to evacuate two large military interest zones ahead of anticipated operations against Islamist insurgents. According to Reuters, one of the zones is a rural area of about 2,000 square kilometers bordering Mali. The other covers about 11,000 square kilometers on the southern border with Benin. The announcement came late yesterday with few details about how long people have to evacuate or where they should go. The West African country has been battling an insurgency by Islamist militants, some linked to Al-Qaeda and Islamic State, since 2015. More than 1.85 million people are already displaced by the fighting. The announcement follows an attack in the north on June 11th that killed over 100 people and displaced thousands more. A group of military officers overthrew the democratic government in January with pledges to improve security, but attacks have only increased. East African leaders meeting in Kenya have agreed to deploy a Kenya-led regional security force to stop the conflict in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC. Weeks of fighting between DRC troops and rebels have raised tensions between the DRC and Rwanda. Congo accuses its neighbor of supporting the rebels, which Rwanda denies. Mohamed Yusuf reports from VOA's Africa News Center in Nairobi.
Seven countries in the East African Community regional bloc have given the green light for the standing EAC regional force to deploy its troops to the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Leaders who met in Kenya's capital, Nairobi, Monday, said they were committed to contributing to reconciliation and peace efforts in Congo's volatile North Kivu, South Kivu, and Ituri provinces. The areas have experienced decades of deadly fighting and more recently, the emergence of the rebel group M23. Kenya will lead the operation to pacify the region, which is home to dozens of rebel groups, some domestic, others with origins in Uganda and Rwanda. The groups fight for control of territory and the region's rich mines. Some fighters say they took up arms to protect their communities from other rebel groups. Researcher and political analyst Tanyoma Rukumbuzi says the EAC force must assure communities they will be safe.
We need to see a force, a military force, that can protect civilians by ending fighting or forcing combatants to lay down their guns. We need a guarantee, that there is a force filling the vacuum where many of these local armed groups have been working to protect their communities.
Belize Kerege is a security researcher with Web App Kivu Security Tracker. He says the deployment of regional forces will not bring stability to Congo, noting that Kenya, Uganda and Tanzania have sent troops in the past with little effect. Kerege says dialogue among Congolese will be a more help than having more troops in the country. He says fighting won't end Congo's problems. Peace talks will have helped. We wouldn't need a lot of money, people and effort. He says, I think Congolese want to talk. Congolese can talk to each other. They don't have to go back to Kenya. Some reports say Rwanda will not take part in the planned deployment. Kinshasa has accused Kigali of supporting M23, a claim denied by Rwanda. M23 claims it is protecting the Tutsi minority in the eastern DRC. Since the Rwandan government is Tutsi-led, some Congolese government officials link the two. There was no immediate word on how many EAC troops will be deployed to Congo or when they may arrive. The EAC says the force will work with the Congolese army to disarm rebel groups and militias. EAC leaders also called on Congo and Rwanda to stop using offensive language, hate speech and threats of genocide. Mohamed Yusuf for VA News, Nairobi.
A senior UN official warns of catastrophic consequences for millions of people in northeast Nigeria facing a food and nutrition crisis if the UN does not receive the funds needed to assist them. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
UN resident and humanitarian coordinator for Nigeria, Matthias Schmal, says he is ringing the alarm bell now because the United Nations has received less than 20% of its $350 million appeal for Nigeria. He says people in Borno, Adamawa, and Yobe states are struggling to survive after 12 years of conflict. Of the 8.4 million people who need humanitarian assistance, he says the UN plans to support at least 5.5 million of the most vulnerable. He says nearly 600,000 people are starving and go for days without food. Malnourished children, he says, are of particular concern.
Approximately overall 1.74 million children under five are expected to suffer from acute malnutrition across the Northeast this year. Of these, over 300,000 are expected to suffer from severe acute malnutrition and are indeed at high risk of death.
He says about 80% of UN aid will be used to assist women and children who often suffer the most in conflict zones. He says they are subject to violence, to abductions, to rape, and other forms of abuse. Trond Jensen is head of the Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs in Nigeria. He says much of the Northeast lacks adequate protection for civilians. He says people who venture outside the fortified military garrison towns are in danger of being killed.
It's a serious crisis in the sense that there is no freedom of movement in the sense that much of the countryside is under the control then or the influence of the various different factions of Boko Haram. So that there are indiscriminate killings then of civilians.
UN officials recognize Nigeria's crisis is overshadowed by the disastrous war in Ukraine and is in danger of being forgotten. However, they warn ignoring the humanitarian needs of Nigeria would have far-reaching consequences in further destabilizing the region. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
A British subsidiary of mining and trading giant Glencore formally pleaded guilty today to 7 counts of bribery in connection with oil operations in Cameroon, Equatorial Guinea, Ivory Coast, Nigeria, and South Sudan. At a court hearing in London, Glencore Energy admitted to paying more than $28 million in bribes to secure preferential access to oil and generate illicit profit between 2011 and 2016. Reuters, quoting the UK Serious Fraud Office, said the company will be sentenced on November 2nd and 3rd. Glencore has already said it expects to pay up to $1.5 billion to settle allegations of bribery and market manipulation. 3 subsidiaries in the United States, Brazil, and Britain have pleaded guilty to criminal offenses. And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voanews.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbilia Baro, and our engineer, Rob McLean, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sikus, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05.